Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Kim Stevenson to the broadcast. Kim is the Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Intel Corporation. In that role, she leads a team of over 6,000 IT professionals worldwide and is responsible for the corporate-wide use of information technology. Prior to her current role, Kim was Vice President and General Manager of Intel's Global IT Operations and Services, where she led both the strategic and tactical support of Intel's worldwide infrastructure components, including data centers, network and telecommunications, enterprise application support, client computing, and a 24/7 internal service desk. Prior to joining Intel, Kim spent 7 years at EDS in a variety of positions, including Vice President of the Worldwide Communications, Media, and Entertainment Industry Practice, and Vice President of Enterprise Service Management, where she oversaw the global development and delivery of enterprise services. Before joining EDS, Kim spent 18 years at IBM in several executive positions, including Vice President of Marketing and Operations of the eServer iSeries division. Kim has a bachelor's degree from Northeastern University, and she also has an MBA from Cornell University's Johnson School of Management, where she is currently a member of the advisory board. I recently caught up with Kim in her office in Santa Clara, California, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, People, as Kim discussed the business and technical skills and traits she seeks in IT leaders of the future, Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as she spoke about how her IT department leverages business intelligence and analytics to help Intel be more successful in new markets, and how the IT organization seeks to align to the business at every level, as well as a variety of other topics. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by Red Hat, the world's leading open-source solutions provider. Learn more at redhat.com. Kim Stevenson, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thanks, Peter. Good to be here.
Wonderful. Well, Kim, I know that you're still, relatively speaking, in the early stages of your tenure as CIO of Intel, but I'm curious, actually, to learn more about this journey through the process of digitization of your organization and the role that IT has been playing in that. Can you talk about some of the changes in Intel's business and how the changes are leading to some creative thinking about how IT can kind of reflect that as well as facilitate some of the change that needs to happen?
Absolutely. Intel as a company, you know, we have a long history of sort of reinventing the business we're in from back in the days of memory to CPUs to building full platforms. And we're at another major inflection point as the world of computing changes. And so today, you know, we're trying to grow ourselves into a full computing solutions company. That means we have a broader product line. So, you know, in addition to our traditional servers and PCs, phones and tablets and software products and some services are all now in our portfolio. So we have a different customer set as a result of that also. In fact, it's broader than any customer set that we've supported in the past. It does create some profound impacts on IT, though, as a result of these changes. Everything from what type of product development we're doing and the IT tools and systems to support that development. Our supply chains are different. How we go to market and our marketing campaigns are changing, as well as how we maintain and support customer relationships. They're all changing. So it's great for Intel. It's a wonderful time. And it's challenging from an IT perspective, which also makes it a good time. I would tell you the business intelligence, though, when you're in the position that we are in as a company, business intelligence has never been more needed and important, because we're coming from into the new markets, a place where, you know, we aren't the incumbent player. We aren't the market leader. So that business intelligence, it really does help us to be more successful in those new markets.
That makes sense. I've been really intrigued to learn more about your business intelligence program, your predictive business intelligence, some of the self-service approaches that you've taken to BI. Can you talk a little bit more about some of the programs that you're instituting from that perspective?
I'll say we have two sort of fundamental threads on business intelligence. And so the self-service BI is what I call traditional BI reporting and making intelligent query capability accessible to all of our users so that they can get access to the information quickly and in a query structure that for the question they are trying to answer. That's been very effective. And the second thread is on the analytics side, which is really fast growing and an important part of where we have to go as a company. So we've built this analytics team, and we create these small teams within the team and assign them to particular parts of the business. And then the business is providing now questions, like what questions would they need to answer? And then the teams are sort of run on a short runway, generally less than 6 months, and try to generate a threshold of at least $10 million in that 6 months in terms of value created as a result of creating that intelligence that we can go act upon. And so one area we did that in was as we were trying to enter some new markets on the sales side, there's a different set of resellers that we have to deal with. And so what we were able to do is take some internal and external data, marry it together, and model which resellers had the highest propensity for revenue generation from Intel. The result of that was we assigned our sales resources differently to the highest propensity organization, and we're able to create in very short time several million dollars worth of incremental revenue activity because you know you're going after a high value target before you even start. So very much shortens the cycle time to revenue also.
Those are really interesting examples and great to hear about the value that IT is creating so quickly on behalf of the rest of the organization. You mentioned the analytics team. As you put these teams together, were they populated with existing IT employees? Were they drawn from the rest of the organization? Did it require hiring new people, or was it an all of the above approach?
It's a blend of, you know, data scientists at Intel that really understand our data. But we've hired predictive modelers and predictive analytic people from the industry also. But we're trying to develop and train. I don't think you can find enough of them. Generally, you know, they're PhDs, they're very limited. And so we're training some of our own also. And because they know the Intel data, they come at it from a different way. It's a good complement. So we're growing some and hiring some. And so far, it's been a good blend of skills on the teams that we've deployed.
That's fascinating. And I know that dovetails nicely to another topic I wanted to cover with you, Kim, and that's the war for talent in the technology space, more generally speaking. You've spoken a lot about the need to focus on IT leadership as job number one for the CIO, and certainly your number one job as you took the role at Intel. What skills or traits do you look for in IT leaders of the future relative to those that you've had in the past?
Yeah, so I would start with, you know, talent and a strong, vital workforce is, you know, an IT organization can't survive without its people. So, you know, it's paramount to our success. And when I look forward and I think about what are the future needs of IT versus where we've been historically, I see changes both at the leadership level in terms of skills that we have to develop and cultivate and the technical level of what hot skills need to be complemented with our existing workforce. So if I start at the leadership side, I think more than ever, it's going to be critical that IT leaders develop an understanding of the company's business and the future objectives, the strategy of where that business is going. Because, you know, aligning to that and help enabling that is the role of IT. But more than ever, I think companies are relying on IT to bring that transformative initiatives forward. It can be done through IT. And if your IT organization leadership isn't doing that, then the business units will find that elsewhere. So I think if when I look at attributes of leaders, future leaders, I'm spending time developing my team on building collaborative skills. How do you collaborate well with the business? Being willing to take more risk because speed matters. Velocity is really important in IT. And then try to approach the problems from what is possible versus the just say no. You know, we sometimes get caught in that because of budgets and security, et cetera. You know, so it's the art of the possible. My favorite phrase to the team is, what would have to be true to, and fill in the blank. So when I look at leaders, I'm looking for those skills, right? That they can lead the team deploying those skills. And I think through that, you'll get an inspired organization that really wants to innovate rapidly. And that's what the business needs us to do. On the technical side, it's also, you know, there's so many new roles, and whoever thought some newspaper would write about an IT job being sexy, you know, with data scientists and, you know, so I'm proud to be part of the IT profession. But when I look at our technical teams, and I've been around IT a long time, the systemic theme I see is this need to go broad. In large enterprise organizations in particular, IT skills have been built in silos. So server guys, network guys, you know, ERP guys, gals, you know, et cetera. And more the world is converged. And so you need depth in some cases, but we need breadth. So we need people that understand what a converged data center looks like, how it operates, interacts, how do software as a service applications integrate into the back end. And so there's this breadth layer that pretty much across all skills, I would say, needs to be continued to focus on extending and building out. And then we have these emerging roles, and whether it's cloud architects or systems administrators for clouds or these predictive analysts, you know, that can model, they're a combination of statisticians, mathematicians, and computer scientists. And, you know, I think almost all IT organizations lack a true user experience interaction designers. And the more you look at how consumer IT is evolving, the more you realize enterprise IT needs to start with the experience, not the technology. Gesture and touch and facial recognition and all of these things are right at the cusp of being just so ingrained in everyday life that people need to come to work and be able to use that experience in the same way so that they're more productive and effective at work. Yeah, we have a long way to go when you think about it, you know, but it's exciting. You know, you see a lot of opportunity.
No doubt. I like the way that you described all of that. And I think that if there's a theme across many of the things you just mentioned, it's weaving IT more deeply into the business than perhaps it has been before. And I like that you began with the notion of ensuring that your organization understands the strategy of the rest of the organization and has great collaborative skills while also mining what trends might apply to the organization and being more consultative and bringing those trends and thoughts to the rest of the organization. For those organizations that might be a step or two below you on the rungs of the ladder towards this level of performance, what are the ways in which you have used in order to insert yourself and your team better into the rest of the organization when it comes to matters of strategy and new idea development?
So I tell you, there's twofold. Right. One is your goal for the IT organization at every level is for the organization to understand what the company's trying to get done and then align to it. Because without that alignment is where you get, you know, unintentionally, you get deviations that don't add the value that you're expecting. And so we do a number of things. So in addition to sort of bringing in various times, we do an annual leader summit, we do technical leaders organizations. We'll bring in the business leaders and ask them to talk about their market, their strategy, what they're trying to get done. We also, just this year alone, we've taken about 100 people in our IT organization. So we're 6,500, and we put them on short-term to long-term assignments in the business. So they could be 3 months, just a coverage cover for somebody while they're out or handle some bubble workload, or they could be, you know, a year-long project-oriented work. And through a combination of walking in the shoes, you know, living a day in the life, direct observation, we use a lot of lean principles and Lean Six Sigma, we're able to help. We grow our understanding of what it's like to be in the business and what do they experience from an IT perspective. And then we come back and, you know, I had one person that was working in our factory and, you know, looked at through daily interaction what manual work had to be done and came back and automated a number of tasks for our engineers and cut out an hour of the day of what they needed to do just through automation. And they were all little things that didn't take a lot of IT effort to automate, but also would never make it unless you were there living it, would never make it on a priority list. And that's adding value. So sometimes they're big things and sometimes they're accumulation of small things.
That's really great. Great examples and ways in which, as you said before, to make sure that IT is not the no in innovation, but rather is understanding the art of the possible. There's an initiative, another, speaking of innovative initiatives that your team has helped to bring to life. I was fascinated to learn a little bit about your IT on the go vending machine program, and I wonder if you could take a little time to tell us about that.
Sure, this is sort of my favorite thing. So we charged the team at the beginning of the year. We said, hey, we want to make the PC support experience much more user-friendly, from getting a new PC, showing up at a PC service center, calling our service desk, you know, and how could we do that? So we made the rooms a little, the PC service centers, we actually had, some of them were in cages. Now, would you want to go to a cage to do anything? You know, so we made them more friendly. We put them in more of an open area conference room setting. You know, we professionalized the look. So the team got kind of on a roll, and someone had been at an airport and saw at the airport a Best Buy vending machine where you could, you know, buy things out of the vending machine. They said, why can't we do that? People come into the support centers all the time. They need a mouse, or they need a headset, or they need a keyboard, or why don't we put all the peripherals in a vending machine and do that? So they did. Just went out and, you know, found it with a used vending machine, put some nice IT on the go Intel stickers on it, created a software program that allows you to swipe your badge and down falls your mouse and charge it back to the department, which we do anyway. Eliminated all that back-end paperwork. You know, you could now get peripherals any time of the day, not just when the PC service center was open. It's just an absolute innovative, fabulous way to really think about the experience we deliver as we try to support the PC and client device world.
And I love how the example, Kim, talks about how you fostered a culture where people are always open to finding interesting ideas and thinking about their potential application back at Intel. A great example of that, obviously.
Yeah, what would have to be true?
There you are. Well, Kim, before I let you go, you've talked about a number of key IT trends that I know are on the dashboard for many CIOs, like business intelligence, for instance, as one that we've mined a bit. And I wonder if you could take a moment and talk about some others that particularly excite you as you look, say, towards the next 2 or 3 years out.
Yeah, so I won't intentionally leave out cloud, but here's my view on cloud. Cloud is so fundamental, it's there. You have to assume it's there. Now let's talk about the future, what other things are going to be fundamental inflection points for IT. So I talked about BI, huge. But social computing has the ability to transform the way work is done inside enterprises. And I give the example of, you know, when I started work way back in the day, I read newspapers and I learned something from the newspapers. I read trade magazines, right? And then it all moved online and now it's all moved to Twitter. And I have this sort of always sense what's going on in the areas that I am most interested at the drop of a hat. Think about how work is done. In large companies, the hardest thing to do is find the right people with the right information. And it's true at Intel also. And so we're using our social computing platform to help find the experts as well as find the right content, trying to take content and make it more open and transparent. We have to protect our IP, and so we have this sort of lockdown mentality. But when you take that to the extreme, you actually isolate data from people that need it. And so we're transforming how Intel operates. And, you know, we use all the classic blogs, forums, wikis. We'll bring in RSS feeds, but we're doing a lot of innovative things on collaboration jams, put an idea out there. Here's the company needs to work on this problem. You know, how would you solve it? And we'll sort of crowdsource that. We're experimenting with gamification on a lot of things, on forecasting, on product development schedules, factory yields very, very early on. But the patterns that we're finding is we're able to isolate knowledge that has material impact if you can get to that knowledge quicker through some of these techniques. So in one way, it's again like BI, it's creating better insight into the company. But I think that when you really look at it over time, it's going to have a huge impact. When I look at who's using the most of our social platforms today in the most creative ways, it's the under 30 crowd. So there's a large part of the population that are not as adept in that area yet, but they will be. And what's 20 something today will be 30 something tomorrow. So it doesn't take long, trust me.
Right.
And it will become the norm in the way we work. So I think it's pretty effective. It has an opportunity to simplify everything we do. So, and then we have, the whole mobilization. We're mobilizing a lot of applications, and that's a business productivity play. And it's just, we're a very, very fortunate company that our people, want to work in customer settings with suppliers and partners. And so the more we can mobilize the application stack that they need to do their job, the better. So that's what's going on.
That's great. One other question for you, Kim. One thing that I find so intriguing about several of your answers relative to BI, relative to social, these are topics that are not IT's domain alone, obviously. And in many ways, the value that is drawn out might be through another part of the organization. You mentioned earlier this trend that I know a lot of CIOs are feeling, the pressure that they're feeling of, just to take marketing as an example, marketing beginning to make IT investments without consulting IT. And I've often thought that in some cases that might be a indication of an IT department that is more the manager or the custodian of the tools as opposed to the interpreter of what's flowing through them. And so many of your examples are talking about your team getting more involved in the interpretation of the information that's flowing through all of the infrastructure that you're responsible for. And I wonder, can you talk just for a moment about the relationship between those other parts of the organization who have obviously a very critical role in determining how value is going to be created, while also balancing the management and even the investment in new technologies relative to topics like BI and social?
So I believe that all IT organizations, including my own, we have to really take stock of the role we play in the company and the relationships that we have. Because you have to earn your right to discuss transformation and help the company transform. And the way we earn our right is we perform well on the day-to-day needs of the business. So I have this service request or keep the business running and handling good project execution. That satisfies the day-to-day needs. It's not a strategic relationship. But when you do that well, you get a lot of positive feedback. You just can't stop there. You have to move up with a great track record for delivery. You earn the right to begin to collaborate with the business. And when you add value through collaboration, you earn the right to truly become a member of the business team and sit in the transformation discussion and help bring IT solutions to the table that can transform the business. And so I do think you have to start with this very honest, where am I? Am I satisfying day-to-day needs or something less or something more? And then how do you move up? I actually am thrilled that the business units are building the technical acumen, are seeing the possibilities that IT can bring. There was a day where you had to convince people that automation was a good thing. And we're so much further advanced. So I think it's a blessing that our business leaders want to move faster, transform their business. And if IT can't provide that track record of success, provide that thought leadership and innovation, then they will get it somewhere else. And they should, because that's good for the business. And so I think it's a challenge for us to think about how do we move up. And I think our number one inhibitor is velocity. The speed at which we operate as IT professionals is too slow for the business, and we're going to have to reinvent every process that we execute to operate with higher levels of velocity. I just think it's going to be a mandatory thing over the next couple of years.
Great points. Kim Stevenson, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT and sharing your perspectives. It's really been a very interesting conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Red Hat is a proud sponsor of the Forum on World Class IT. Does your enterprise want to deliver more? Red Hat has proven enterprise technologies that are scalable, flexible, and compatible with whatever your future holds, whether it's virtualization, cloud, storage, middleware, or enterprise Linux. Red Hat is calling all enterprisers. Learn more at www.redhat.com/enterprisers. Listen to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT: Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to Meta Strategies' five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important then that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. Our editors are Chris Davis and Callahan Cool, and our theme music was written by David Arman. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.